Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to VGN.
Hello, everyone. It's Rodney with the Video Games Now podcast, and joined by Will. Hello.
Hey. Unfortunately, we're back again.
Unfortunately, I've been asleep here. We recorded this podcast a little late in the week. Sorry about that, but we're back at it here. And I was actually editing our Super Smash Brothers tournament, hence the music. Today it is actually, we got a rough cut done now, so we just got to record a couple more things and do some audio editing, and we should be ready to publish that. And it's super, super good. I'm really enjoying editing it so far. Will hasn't seen it yet, so it's all a big surprise to him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, hopefully sometime this week.
Yeah, I'll probably throw the rough cut up on Dropbox or something for you to check out.
Sounds good.
Or put it on a private YouTube page.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right, anyway, so that'll be released over on our YouTube channel, so if you guys haven't already, check us out on YouTube, just type Video Games Now, we should come up pretty quick there, and subscribe to our channel so you make sure you don't miss the exciting premiere of our Smash-Off. So, I've been debating this, what do you guys think? Should we do the Smash-Off or the Smash-A-Thon? I'm leaning more towards Smash-Off.
I like Smash-Off.
Yeah, Smash-A-Thon sounds like... stupid. All right, cool. So that's good. And if you can't find us on YouTube for some reason, you can always head over to our website at videogamesnow.ca and check us out there. And we have all the links to all of our social media outlets where you can contact us and get into the VGN community. Today we're going to talk about some cool shit like, say, Destiny, or not Destiny, Bungie splitting up with Activision, which has been the big talk of the town for the last couple weeks, or last week or so. It's going to be...
I'd say, yeah, the last couple days.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely going to jump on that bandwagon. And we're also going to talk about... we published an article this morning on our website about how Microsoft has announced, or teased, rather, that all first-party games could be available on Xbox Game Pass. That's super exciting. So are they?
I'm excited.
It's going to be good. It's going to be worth the money now. So here we go. Everything like that coming up right now. Guys, so yeah, let's talk about the split up here with Bungie and Activision. So just to start off the bat here, I'm excited because I think Activision has gone a little bit too deep with Bungie in terms of their games.
Yeah, I think they're probably, like you said, Activision's just getting a little too involved.
Yeah, I mean Bungie, like, did Bungie do anything before Halo? I think they did one other game before they released Halo. I can't remember, though. Let's look it up.
I think they were working on one, but I think it got canceled.
I think a bunch of games became Halo. Like, they were working on a bunch of different titles.
Well, I think their wasn't their prototype called Forerunner?
Yeah, actually, yeah, and then I vaguely remember them sitting down with either Nintendo or Sony and pitching it, and they thought that it would never gain ground, and then that's when Microsoft picked them up.
I think it was Mac.
Mac, that's what it was. It was Mac, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Mac was looking. Well, this is when they were trying to get into their own computer game line, and I think that's when Bungie approached Mac as getting Halo for them.
Yeah,
which they made a huge mistake.
Oh man, killer mistake! But do you think Halo would be the game it would be today if it was released on Mac?
I don't know. Like back then, I don't think Apple was that popular. Personally, if it was today, you know, with Apple being like one of the leading things, I could see Halo being an even bigger, I guess, IP for them. But back in the day, I think they would have probably killed Halo.
Yeah, like. I'm just thinking about any game on Mac right now, and I think that's not doable. Like I remember playing games in computer class in grade 7 on our colorful Macs, Apple Macs or whatever, and they weren't that great. So, but here on Wikipedia, trusty Wikipedia, from 1994 to 1997, they worked on Marathon, Myth, and Oni. And after Marathon, Bungie moved away from first-person shooters to release the strategy game Myth. The game stressed tactical unit management and opposed resource gathering. So basically a Command & Conquer style game. And it was developing it for the Mac and the Windows platforms. The success of Myth enabled Bungie to change Chicago offices and establish a San Jose, California branch of the studio, Bungie West, in 1997. And it was the Bungie West's first and only game would be Oni. Yay, so they worked on a couple things for Mac, PC, and the PS2, actually. So, cool. Yeah, and then they made Halo and other billionaires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here it is right here. In 1999, Bungie announced its next product, Halo Combat Evolved. Originally intended to be a third-person shooter game for Windows and Macintosh. Macintosh. Who the fuck says that nowadays?
Who fucking thought that was a good name, too?
It was, but, like, can you imagine talking to, like, a younger generation now and be like, yeah, when Macintosh, like, back in my day, Macintosh... They'd be like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, Apple?
Yeah.
but continuing on, it was originally developed as a third-person shooter game for Windows and Macintosh. Halo's public unveiling occurred at Macworld Expo 1999 keynote address by Apple's then interim CEO, Steve Jobs. Interim. After a closed-door screening at E3 in 1999. On June 19th, 2000, on the 9th anniversary of Bungie's founding, Microsoft announced that it had acquired Bungie and that Bungie would become a part of the Microsoft Game Division. So I'm betting whatever Microsoft saw behind the doors there for that private unveiling of Halo.
Yeah.
Was enough for them to be like, yeah, fuck, we're not doing this for Windows and Macintosh. We are doing this for Windows and Xbox.
Yeah. So Steve Jobs must have, like, ridiculed them or in some way or, like, laughed them out of the office. Like, oh, you'll never fit in the Apple umpire of Apple.
But, like, think about it, though. Also, it was originally developed as a third-person shooter.
Yeah, have you ever seen gameplay of the third-person view prototype of Halo?
I did, because they showed it off at that the public unveiling. If you look hard enough, you can actually find the original Halo concept on YouTube.
Yeah, they had some kick-ass weapons. They had, like, a flamethrower and shit like that in the first Halo game.
Yeah.
So, that would have been nice, but... I think they made Halo 1 just right. Like, it's, like, the perfect... It's perfectly... I can't even talk about Halo without, like, you know...
Oh, yeah. We can't wait for Halo 6, if you can't tell. Like, Halo 5 was just hot garbage.
Yeah, but I think that they've learned from their mistakes, maybe?
Biggest mistake being them getting rid of Couch Anything.
Yeah, totally. I think
of Halo, and I go back to, like... Oh, this is even before my teens, man. I'm getting old. When Xbox came out and they had Halo, I remember the big thing was not playing by yourself or online, is getting your friends over and having matchmaking, or have a friend over and do the campaign.
Well, even look at
Legendary.
Yeah, I mean, even look at Super Smash Brothers. Like, you and me and like, how many people were at that party when we filmed that tournament? Like, that, you know, we all came together basically to play Smash Brothers, couch co-op, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people still want couch co-op. It's not like...
Oh, definitely. That's where I think Microsoft made the big decision, and they're like, well, let's focus solely on the online multiplayer. Like, well, I don't know. As much as, like, I do like that I could still play campaign with you online, that also means that any friend that doesn't have an Xbox that I just wants to play the game and they come over to my house can't play.
Yeah, I mean... It is nice, like, especially, like, we have guys like Ian who live in, like, where the fuck he lives on the East Coast. You know, obviously he can't come over, so it's nice to be able to connect and meet new people online as well. But at the same time, we need to be able to maintain the community of gamers in a public space.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so... All right, anyways, so moving back onto a topic here. Bungie splits with Activision... Activision, I think, was the main contributor to having the despised microtransaction system that triggered a huge backlash from fans during the first months of Destiny 2. The loot systems of Destiny 2 at launch also flattened out the game's reward structure to give better stuff to casual players while reducing the incentive to be a hardcore or high committed player. So, yeah, I agree with all those. This is on Polygon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, Destiny 2 was just like a flat out...
Garbage. It's still got a hardcore fan base and people still do play it, but I thought, like, just be like before, I shouldn't have to wait for the expansions to enjoy the game.
Yeah, I agree. Even with Destiny 1, I mean, I did genuinely enjoy playing Destiny 1. The issue I ran into is once I hit level 20, it's like, oh, you have light level now. Like, what the fuck is light level? Like, why don't you just make my level go up more? Like, why do you have to increase, like, add another fucking attribute into the game that was completely unnecessary?
Yeah, I agree. I'm also looking at, like, some of the reasons for this split. And it looks like Activision just, like, always opened their big mouth.
Yeah.
Because after the latest expansion, Forsaken, came out in September, despite being received much more warmly than just the base game... Activision publicly stated that the franchise had become a commercial DLC had been a commercial disappointment. This led in turn to the Destiny 2 director, Luke Smith, responding on Twitter saying, "We are not disappointed with Forsaken. We set out to build a game that Destiny players would love, and at Bungie, we love it too. Building Destiny for players who love it is and will always remain our focus going forward."
Man, can you imagine the interdepartmental chat in Bungie, like, when he released that? Be like, what a fucking idiot. Why would you, like, publicly just bash a game that you're trying to fucking sell and make money off of?
Well, like, I don't know who said it, but Activision publicly stated that it had been a commercial disappointment, and the Destiny 2 director just did not like that comment, which I wouldn't either. Like,
no.
Everything, because Activision being such a big company now with Blizzard, if it doesn't make billions of dollars for them, it's just a disappointment.
Yeah, and you know what? We encounter this a lot in our business and film and television, where even a lot of the big studio stuff that's made, it's not... Like, there's the network has too much involvement in the creative process, right? Like, if the director and all them want to do their own thing, and they have all these great ideas, the studio generally shuts them down or says, no, you got to do it this way. So there's a lot of involvement with the studio. So that's why also indie games and even indie movies have a lot more passion and a lot more thought and work put into it. And it just seems like when you play the game, it just feels better. Almost.
Yeah, that's the key word right there is passion.
Yeah.
You got to love what you do.
Yeah, well,
you don't want it to just be a routine.
Yeah, not saying, like, the people who work at Bungie don't love what they do, but, I mean, they come to work and they'll be like, okay, we're going to make a great game, and then Activision or whoever else, big studio, steps in and says, oh, no, you got to do it this way. You got to put in loot boxes or whatever the fuck. And then they're like, okay, cool, and then it's a fucking piece of shit game.
Yeah, that's why I think now, like, I really liked the guy's comment with, we are not disappointed with Forsaken. We set out to build a game that Destiny players would love, and at Bungie, we love it too. So literally right there, he said, we set out to build a game that Destiny players would love, and at Bungie, we love it too.
Yeah.
So he doesn't give a flying fuck if Activision didn't like it.
You know what? That kind of that comment kind of tells me right there that that's sort of what started this whole thing. Is like,
I think so too. Yeah. Like you can tell for him to like to respond to like this. You read it right; it doesn't seem that aggressive, but then you keep rereading it, and you can kind of see little tidbits like of how when he wrote this, how he felt.
Yeah.
And then he ends with saying, building Destiny players for who love it is and always will remain our focus going forward.
So it's like for anyone who's ever been fired and you like know it's coming. A lot of my
friends even said Forsaken was the best expansion. It really added to the game. But by that point, like Destiny had been kind of killed, right?
Yeah.
So the only people that really bought it were people giving it a chance, new to the series, or were still one of those diehard players.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there a Destiny 3 coming on our horizon? Actually, that's great that that Bungie retained the rights to Destiny 3, because if Destiny 3 is actually like a fucking bomb, like a killer fucking game,
That'll just throw it right in Activision's face.
Like, suck on these Destiny balls. Bitch.
I think though they have to do it right and go back to like when they made Halo and have a longer development period, really sit down. Like the game is fun to play, but it does get a little tedious and repetitive, just like any other game you have to grind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw Bungie under the bus because Destiny in itself is a great idea. It's a whole new style of game. It just gets old very fast. So I think, I don't know, there's a report I read after this split that people were estimating that, are we getting a new probably Destiny 3 in 2020 or 2021?
I think it would be extremely stupid to release a Destiny game even in 2021, because let's be honest, like the first or the second Destiny game didn't do very well. So now that they've split with Activision, Bungie needs to just sit down in the boardroom and go, okay, those fucks are gone now. So what didn't work in 2, and then take that out and basically kind of start over. Like what worked in 1, what got people's attention, and what, you know, how do we carry that over? They kind of did that a little bit with Halo 3, because Halo 1 was like fucking amazing. And then Halo 2 was like
kind of dropped the ball, but it was still great.
It was it wasn't as balanced as Halo 1. Like it was definitely fun. It definitely brought a lot more to the table for sure. But it wasn't as balanced. But when Halo 3 came out, that was a fucking good game. That was a good game, and a lot of people played that game, and that's still a lot of people's favorite one.
Oh yeah, for me, we've talked about it many times, and it always will be till. Maybe a game in the future is Halo Reach.
Yes, actually, that is my favorite one still is Halo Reach.
Yeah, like they took everything that made 1 great, brought that over. They brought everything that they changed in 2, and they just made it even better. And then made 3 look good.
Yeah, and they sprinkled some new shit in there too. They added the abilities in Halo Reach, and they made it visually more appealing, like the assassination animation. Like, so good. Yeah.
I also liked them adding all those other characters that you could still play as and learn their story kind of before they diminish.
Yeah. And the customization, that was a huge one. Everyone was fucking to the moon and back.
For the multiplayer?
Yeah, for the customization. Yeah. You see what I did there? That was funny. Anyways.
To the moon and back.
People love to customize their character, especially when they're playing as a super soldier Spartan dude. Like, they want to be able to, you know, make it their own. So
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like, games nowadays, I love when you have a huge way to customize your character, especially like we did Black Desert, remember? And like the first thing, you had like some good choices for body types and stuff, and then all of a sudden you got to the face and you had like 4 to choose for, like, hairstyles.
Yeah
That doesn't work for me. I want to be able to make a character completely my own.
Yeah, and that was the other fucking stupid thing with Destiny. It's like, you know, oh cool, now I have this, like, this armor-looking thing, and then as soon as you get anything that has higher stats, you ditch the fucking armor thing, and you get some other new thing that looks completely different.
I usually just upgrade it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, why can't you just have, like, look at how you want to look, and then, you know, just have a different way of buffing your stats. I don't if I look like a fucking if I was a space whatever the fuck they are in Destiny, space fucking mercenary or whatever, I would want to look a specific way. I wouldn't want to keep changing it every level just because my shit's stronger.
Yeah, and we talked about it when we did the podcast as well, because we both watched the video. But for Anthem, like, the customization in that looks like it's taking it even to a higher standard.
Yeah, I really like when there's an achievement, and when you complete the achievement, it gives you, like, something cool. Like, for example, in Halo Reach, when you beat it on Legendary, you got the Flaming Skull Helmet. And yes. And yeah, so it's like when you're seeing someone running around in multiplayer with the Flaming Skull Helmet, you're like, that motherfucker beat Legendary. Which was actually fucking hard.
I think they really
hard.
Need to do that, because they're supposed to be, like, world bosses and stuff like that. And I'm betting if it's anything like Destiny and all the other games, there's going to be, like, trials.
Yeah.
To get, like, the best gear. I think, like, when you beat trials, that's when things should unlock.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, basically reward the player for doing a fucking sick-ass achievement. And then have, like, the most ridiculously badass...
Yeah.
Shit for your
like,
guy.
Like, timed stuff, too. Like, beat the boss in, say, 5 minutes. And beat the boss or beat this level without dying.
Or speedrun Halo 1 in under 3 hours and only get fucking 50 gamer score. Fucking some bullshit.
Yeah, that's some garbage. But then you have the same thing with Halo 2, and you just tell it, like, go fuck yourself. I could probably say a lot more words to that. Like, it would just be a lot of...
Yeah, a lot.
Ooh, yeah, we take this thing from R to, like, triple R.
Double X, because triple X is something else.
That's why I said double R.
Yeah, double R.
Rated
R. For Rockin' Rodney.
Times three.
Yeah. So, while the community has generally viewed Activision's influence over the game as negative, the assistance and extra manpower supplied by subsidiary studios has a large impact on the beloved Forsaken era. Activision brought in these studios to make Destiny content so that the game would still get regular updates, while the core Bungie team could work on larger expansions. But Bungie has likely lost access to any studio or team it doesn't own. So, I never really thought about that. I mean, Bungie's probably a bigger studio. But I guess they did have quite a bit of help with Activision being kind of like the kingpin of all the smaller development teams, right?
Yeah, but the one thing is, like, remember when Destiny or Bungie and Activision joined hands?
Yeah.
It wasn't like when Microsoft owned Bungie.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It was a completely whole other deal that it was mainly just Destiny that they got their hands on.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was thinking about, like, is this going to hurt Bungie moving forward for a little while? And then I thought about it as well. And remember, just before E3, was it last year or the previous year? I think it was last year. Remember they announced they just received $100 million in funding from NetEase to work on a non-Destiny project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe I forgot about that project. That's a lot of funding as well. Maybe Destiny's going to be put on hold for a little while, and they're going to work on this new IP.
Yeah, that would be smart, I think. I think, they just need to shelf Destiny for now and let it, you know, collect some dust, maybe get some more ideas, maybe wait for the technology to improve a little bit better to get, you know, something new.
Yeah.
And, yeah, do new IP, 100%, I agree. So,
because yeah, I forgot they got that funding from that Chinese company to work on that on a new game that they wouldn't talk about.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't have loose lips like fucking Activision. Anyway, so say goodbye to your Activision, to Activision, and also to all of your stuff. The original Destiny allowed players to collect an assortment of mounts, cosmetics, and other collectibles that were trophies for accomplishing various in-game feats, as well as emotes and other special cosmetics sold through the game's Eververse microtransaction store. The rewards were offered in addition to the weapons and armor that improve players' stats and combat performance. Players of the yearly games like Call of Duty expect this kind of cosmetic reset between games, but fans treat Destiny more like an MMO, where the expectation is that the cosmetics will be preserved between the games and major updates. Players who bought the collector's edition of World of Warcraft in 2004 and received the mini Diablo companion pet can still summon the Lord of Tiny Terror today, 15 years later. All the long-running online games like League of Legends, Counter-Strike, Dota 2, and Overwatch have made major changes and updates to their games without ever deleting players' collections of premium cosmetics. So, fuck you, Activision. That's some fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
So, spend money to randomly get shit that you don't even know you're getting, and now you're getting it all taken away. Like, suck a dick.
Yeah, we've talked about it many times. Like, I'll still do loot boxes sometimes, but I'm not going to spend my own money for them if it's stuff like I earned while playing the game.
Yeah.
But I'd rather spend money on knowing what I'm buying.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm even reluctant to go into casinos anymore. There goes 20 bucks.
If I was to go into a casino, I'd leave my wallet in the car and only walk in with 20 bucks.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's what I'm spending. That's what I'm leaving with, or I leave with nothing and that'll just be like normal.
Yeah, totally.
That's why I don't go to the casino.
Yeah. The casinos on cruise ships play pretty good, actually.
Yeah, because they're trying to, you know, make it more fun for the passengers.
Well, fuck
them. When you go to the actual casino, they're just there to rob you.
Well, I went on Holland America, and that's made for the older crowd. So, by God, for a young guy, there's nothing to fucking do on that ship during the day. So, you're going to go to the casino, like, hands down.
I'd be at the bar.
Oh, yeah, we were at the bar, too, but there's a bar at the casino, so I was killing two birds. And then
you and you multitasking.
And then the nightlife was fucking weak, buddy. So okay, so if anybody listening to this podcast cruises and you're thinking about or even thinking about cruising, Holland America's it's classy. It's very classy. But it's definitely not for anybody under like 70. well, I'm being fucking real. Like everybody on that ship is definitely retired, easily retired, and or almost dead because they're using walkers or fucking oxygen tanks or something. Like, legit,
the crew probably didn't know how to handle you. You could get around.
Oh, they knew me by name because I obviously was the youngest thing on that fucking ship. So, but yeah, like we did the lifeboat drill before we left the first port. Fucking kill Will here. But yeah, no, we're doing the lifeboat drill before we left the first port. And so they do this whole thing where they contact you on the PA system and there's a PA system in everybody's stateroom and they're like, oh, you know, this is an emergency, stand by for more information or whatever, but it's like the drill or whatever. So then you look and there's the diagram of how to get to your lifeboat in your room. So you're looking at that and Brittany and I are like looking at this. We're like, okay, so you go out and then you take a left and the stairs are right there. Yeah, like we like had this whole thing planned out. Like we had our fucking guns unholstered and all that shit, right? And then so yeah, then the PA system comes back on and they're like, okay, proceed to your lifeboats. So Brittany and I were fucking gone. Like we were like sliding down the fucking rails like goddamn firemen. And then we get to our lifeboat.
You just wanted to be the first one evacuated. Fuck the old people.
Well, no, that's what I'm getting to. Like we were like first at our lifeboat and like fucking deck's empty. We're like, man, if this boat was sinking, all these people are fucked. They can't physically make it to their lifeboats.
Was there like a crew member when you got there?
Oh yeah, they were there. They were there.
They were probably shocked. They're like, oh, I don't think I've ever seen anyone get here that fast.
But like, oh man, I was about to go for coffee. Yeah. So yeah, anyways, Brittany and I are going on a Norwegian cruise, Norwegian cruise line, 2 weeks now, 3 weeks. So super stoked. And it's for more our speed. It's got like water slides and rope swings and shit like that.
You know, when I think about it, the only, like, thing, like, you only do, fire drills and evacuation drills now in elementary school, and when you're probably now, if this cruise sounds familiar, probably, like, the senior homes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, like, their brains, or they're starting to forget things, and they want to make sure they know how to get out of the building.
Yeah, yeah. Not bashing Holland America, even though they fucked me over from $1,100. But yeah, they the only thing to do on that boat for me was like go to a cooking show. I did learn how to make salmon really well though, and bingo and the casino. That was literally it, and then eat all the food.
So, sounds fun.
Yeah. Anyways, wildly off topic for this podcast. Might talk about that on some future podcast. titled Cruises and What Not to Do on Holland America. Fucking bingo. Alright, anyways, So back to Bungie. That was ridiculously off topic. Holy shit.
Whatever.
Anyways, so did you played just the base game of Destiny 2, right? None of the expansions?
Yeah, I pretty much gave up right there.
Yeah, I remember that it was so bad they were basically giving you the base game for free. And I downloaded it to my Xbox, but I never opened it because I was just hearing all this shit about it.
Yeah, it was like for 2 weeks they had it download for free, try to tease people.
Yeah. So. Hey guys, play Destiny 2 and then hate it like everybody else.
Yeah.
So, all right. So yeah, that sucks that Activision's getting rid of all your shit. I think Bungie, like we were talking about, should just shelf Destiny and... you know what they should do? This would be great. They shelf Destiny, and then when they release Destiny 3 in, like, 5-6 years, like, yeah. Activision's, like, just fucking hurting hard. Like, just super... like Call of Duty fucking 10 is just tanking hard because it's the same fucking game since Call of Duty Black Ops fucking 3.
They'll always have World of Warcraft, though, so...
Yeah.
That money's there.
Yeah. Were they always involved in World
of
Warcraft?
No, Warcraft with Blizzard, and then Activision, or was it Blizzard bought Activision? One of the two.
I would have thought that, well, it was probably a mutual thing, because Blizzard released World of Warcraft in, like, fucking whatever. Was it 2004?
Yes, the...
Their original?
Yeah, you just said that. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if that was the original, but anyways, yeah, so, like, they launched that, and it was a huge success, so they were fucking drowning in money. So, anyways, why don't we move on to our next topic, which is Microsoft teases that all first-party games could be available on the Xbox Game Pass. So, I canceled my Game Pass, I think we talked about this before.
I keep saying I'm going to, and then I don't get around to it, and I just saw that it came off my out of my account the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. That should prompt you to go immediately and cancel it. But
true, but we also have Crackdown 3 being available on it coming up, I think, next month or March. So
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, now that we published this article on our website, it might actually be more appealing to get Game Pass back now. And like I was saying last podcast, I totally think that the future is going to be streaming games, because that's basically what Microsoft's doing right here, is they're just making all their games available to play on a subscription service.
Right? Yeah, so, I would say the same, yeah.
Yeah. So, Microsoft Game Pass worth the price now? There's always more games on the horizon, and now Microsoft has teased what's coming next for its portfolio. In a blog post, Microsoft offers what it calls a hot tease. Of what fans can expect in the time ahead. Starting with 2019 games, Xbox fans have titles like Crackdown 3, Ori and the Will of Wisps, Gears 5, and Minecraft Dungeons to look forward to. Of note, all these games and all future first-party titles from Microsoft are included with the price of an Xbox Game Pass membership. So, cool. 2019 is shaping up nicely for Xbox, PC, and mobile gamers alike. Microsoft said. Also in 2019, Microsoft will release a significant new update for Sea of Thieves called The Arena, which adds a competitive mode. Holy shit! It's like they fucking were thinking about that a long time ago and just didn't put it in the game.
Yeah, I just don't care.
Yeah. Cole's been trying to get us back into... Well, not back into it. He's like, I kind of want to play Sea of Thieves. Actually, I definitely want to play Sea of Thieves, but I'm not playing by myself, so he wants me and Will... to jump
in. Yeah, I told him it's probably going to be a cold day in hell.
Cold day in the Hunger Deep. I don't know. We might have to try the arena mode. We'll get totally fucked, though. We always get screwed over in PvP.
Yeah. Fuck, I don't really know.
If we didn't have Adam Terryberry, we'd be significantly fucked.
Yeah, he was the only reason we survived, like, half those encounters.
I know. So
I'm dead.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Adam.
Okay.
I got these guys. Yeah.
I'm on their ship. I'm on their ship. I got them all. Yeah. I killed them all.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
Terry Bear. Or be like godlike skills at times.
Or it'll be like three of us trying to fucking sail the ship around the Skull Fort. We're like getting super fucked. We're like, Adam, where are you? He goes, it's okay. I got a powder keg. I'm almost under the ship. So. Yeah, he was always one step ahead of everybody. Yeah, those Sea of Thieves was fun, but it's just so, it got so boring. Anyways, in addition to all these games and the new Sea of Thieves expansion, Microsoft teased future releases from its studios around the world. Microsoft saying delivering new Microsoft technologies is one part of the company's ambition going forward. And we can't wait to see, we can't wait to show you what's all the Microsoft's, what all the Microsoft studios are working on. We're focusing on implementing new Microsoft technologies, delivering content for new platforms and services like Xbox Game Pass, and creating exclusive games that turn players into loyal Xbox fans. Oh yeah, I bet you fucking want that. We're next week, join us next week, where Mark's going to join us on the podcast, and we're going to do a Xbox versus Sony versus Nintendo podcast, and it's going to be fucking off the fucking walls.
Seems like it's been a while since Mark has joined us on anything.
Yeah, and he's going to be the usual liquored up amount of liquored up.
That actually just makes him entertaining and whatnot.
He's a belligerent fucking nitwit is what he is when he's drunk.
Yeah, everyone will see that next week.
Yeah, and when we release our Smash Bros. Tournament thing, Mark is, like, fucking unbearably hilarious. Like, it's...
Well, by that time, he was already a couple deep. Hell, he was a couple deep before I even picked him up.
Yeah, so we, like, basically convinced him to join this Smash tournament. And so Will and I get there, and, or no, we're already there, and Mark shows up, and before he's even like, hey, how's it going? He fucking points at me and Cole. He's like, okay, here's what's gonna fucking happen. You are gonna take at least 3 or 4 fucking shots before we start this thing, and you can fuck right off, Cole, and you can take... he was just barking all these orders at us, and we're like, dude, chill the fuck out. Like,
oh, he planned all that, too. Like, while I was driving, he just wouldn't shut up. And then he's like, oh, yeah, this is what they have to do if they want me to play. It's unfair.
It's unfair. I rewatching the footage, Cole just fucking destroyed me. Like, he fucking wrecked me. I
got destroyed by Mark. Like, that's even worse.
Yeah. But we'll stop spoiling all the fun, and we'll wait till it gets released. Anyways, so we have where was I here? Here it is. So last year, Microsoft invested in its future by acquiring 6 studios and creating an all-new one. At E3, Microsoft announced that it acquired Playground Games, which makes Forza Horizon, Compulsion Games, We Happy Few, Ninja Theory, Hellblade, and Undead Labs, State of Decay. At Microsoft's X18 event in Mexico City, Microsoft announced the...
Acquisition.
Thank you. Acquisition of Obsidian Entertainment, Fallout New Vegas, and In Exile Entertainment Wasteland 3. As for new studio, the initiative based on Los Angeles area, it is staffed by Red Dead Redemption's writer designer and many other big names. So you can tell in English class, like, I really didn't want the teacher to, like, call on me to, like, read a fucking page of the book.
Yeah, see, that was my problem. I sucked at, like, math horribly, so I made up for it in English, where I was always doing the provincial public speaking and shit like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with actually reading stuff off a piece of paper, but then I'll come to a word that's like completely fucked.
Yeah, we've already seen that.
Yeah, or someone's goddamn name that makes no goddamn English sense.
Yeah. But back on topic though, the initiative, that actually sounds like an interesting studio. We don't know anything about them, but it's staffed by like the big wigs.
Yeah. Based in LA, so they're in the same community as all the other guys too, eh? So
no, but I'm talking more about them getting on like the writer director of Red Dead Redemption 2. There's also a couple other ones. I don't have the article in front of me, but like it sounds like this studio is like being run by the bigger guys that have experience. Like Microsoft has to be planning something big.
Yeah, man, I really want to make one game, but like I don't have any fucking game design like experience whatsoever.
Well, I remember out of high school, this quick story, so I don't bore everyone, but right out of high school, you know, you're trying to figure out what you want to do, and I went to like the job fair at the the TradeX nearby, and popped out, video game development, very easy. The guy told me I should look into before learn a bit of C++.
Yeah.
So I went out, bought a huge ass textbook, couple programs, spent good amount of money on that textbook. It was alone, it was like $300, and yeah, I couldn't do shit. It was all math.
Yeah, C++ fucking sucks ass.
I'd literally have to sit there in front of a computer and a calculator just to do the equations.
Yeah, I can
like,
do.
My brain just can't like calculate. Like,
yeah, I can do a lot of shit on a computer. I can't code. I can't code. Yeah. I couldn't code. I could. The only thing I can do is open like. For code for a website, like open Notepad and write HTML and then HTML close. And that's all I know how to fucking do. Like, that's the web page. It doesn't have any fucking shit on it.
But, like, the actual coding for gaming, like the animation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, just the codes to say, like, for the person to, like, lift their arm.
Yeah.
That's, like, out of, like, my depth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I remember in IT class, I used Flash a lot, like, I guess it's called Animate now, Adobe Animate, but yeah, I used Flash a lot. I animated a lot of videos, and then in IT class, he knew this, and he's like, oh, you should try editing with, I think it was ActionScript at the time, and I'm like, the fuck is Action, like, all I knew how to do with an ActionScript is to stop my timeline and just, and make a play sequence and make a preloader.
Yeah.
And yeah, I couldn't fucking do it. Like, I'm like, this is retarded. He wants me to, in ActionScript, make something move across the screen. It's like, I can literally do that visually in like about 2 seconds. And I can't write in ActionScript. It was just nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess we can't be the game developers, Will. We can be the team that's like do publishers. This. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll be the next Miyamoto, except we don't know how to fucking do anything Miyamoto knows how to fucking do. He was like drawing levels on freaking grid paper.
Yeah.
And I can't draw, so I'm fucked.
I haven't drawn. Yeah, that's what I want to use. I haven't drawn anything in a while.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, I am kind of considering Game Pass again. Although, I'm going to be working and going on a cruise, so maybe not. Maybe I'll hold off until some actual good shit comes out.
I haven't looked at it in a while, but they seem to be really up on it. Like, every couple, like, months or something, they'll add, like, three or four games, and they'll take away two.
Oh, they take stuff away?
You know, if it's something that's probably that hasn't been downloaded that often.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so I can kind of see that a little bit. Because it does, like, this is all on their ones, like, their dedicated servers or whatever, right? So,
yeah.
I could see that. I don't know. I'm more excited because, like, they said Crackdown is going to be on it for free. Crackdown 2, I didn't really like. Crackdown 1, I loved, but I love Terry Crews, so he could probably sell me anything.
Surprise, motherfucker. Yeah, I like Terry Crews too. And I bet you a lot of people listening right now totally missed that. That's basically where Terry Crews is from. Is from that like one line, and that was made into a meme.
That and every time I picture him in my head right now, I'm picturing him with Old Spice.
Oh fuck! He did the Old Spice commercials. We talked about this on our other podcast, the What You Watching Now podcast, didn't we?
I think we did, like, I don't remember which one, but yeah, like, we were talking about, like, Terry Crews and...
Yeah, and then we mentioned that he was doing a 24-hour stream of him painting a picture over Christmas.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Fucking Terry Crews. God. All right, good stuff. So, also in the news was something else you brought up, Will. I can't actually remember here.
So I've got two articles. One is going back to a game that we're really looking forward to. Anthem is going to be offering matchmaking for every activity in the game.
Oh, fucking no way, buddy. That's sick.
So I don't know what the activities are yet because we haven't played it. We're looking forward to it hopefully soon with the demo or the beta. But I could see this like being a huge thing, especially... Even if it's just like, you know, you want to explore the world, if you, there's like a setting for that, that you can do it not by yourself.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious how they build their campaign, because are they going to make it so that it's a hard boss by yourself, like almost like legendary basically on Halo, but
I don't know. I don't think they should do it that way. They should do it similar, but I think if you play the game with like four people in co-op or something, it should be a lot more challenging.
Yeah, the difficulty should ramp up. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so too. So for those who don't, who have not yet purchased Anthem, if you pre-order Anthem now, you can get access to the VIP beta, which we're going to be playing next weekend, I believe. Not this weekend, but the weekend following. And haven't decided what day yet because I only get the one day, but we'll probably do both.
Hopefully. Who knows? Like, I'm back to work full time as well. So, like, those weekends, I sometimes just, like, crash.
Totally.
But yeah, that's one of the news. And then the other one that came out today as well is Rocket League now supports cross play across PC and all consoles.
Yeah, so it's following in the footsteps of Fortnite. And
yeah, second game to do it. Yeah. It's huge, though.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, every game, this should be fucking mandatory. Like, honestly, it should be mandatory that you have to, if you offer games on multiple platforms, that you have to provide crossplay.
Yeah, I see that. I think it's gonna be hard, like we've talked about it before, with all three of them just agreeing to do it right away.
Yeah,
but I think in some cases it should be up to also the publisher.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, so if this, instead of, like, if the games, say Call of Duty, I don't really want to use it, but it's the first thing that came to my head, it goes out on every system.
Yeah.
May still go on Switch, I don't know. But now Call of Duty is Activision, right? So, but it's going to be released on every console. So what if Activision just said, well, I want that game to be crossplay?
Yeah.
Right, I don't picture a lot of, like, the three big companies right away saying yes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, 100%. Anyways, moving on. So we have 50 minutes left until our hour mark, and we ran out of topics. So why don't we talk about Pokemon Go, because we've been playing that a lot.
Yeah, we did the Totodile event last weekend, which was actually pretty fun.
Yes.
Got a good amount of walking in, caught a lot of shiny Totodile.
We did, yeah. So for those who have not played Pokemon Go since Christ was a child, it's gotten a lot better. It's quite fun now. It's basically the game that should have been released originally, really.
Yeah, it's still got a few, you know, like, there's still a couple glitches where the game will freeze, but every game is like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the research, and they just make the game a lot more rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, so again, for those who haven't played it, so what's new in the last, I don't know, I started playing again 4 months ago, maybe, and you started playing about two months, yeah.
Yeah,
Cole so. Actually got us back into it. He's been playing since the beginning. He hasn't stopped. He's completed the Generation 1 and Generation 2 Pokedexes, minus, like, Lugia and Ho-Oh, I think.
No, he got Lugia. He's still waiting on the Ho-Oh.
Yeah, so he's played a lot. But, so, you have, yeah, every day you can do, you can claim a research, you just go to Pokestop and spin it, and it gives you a field research, so it'll be, like, make 5 excellent throws, catch 3 Pokemon, transfer 3 Pokemon. It'll just give you these, like, little I can't even say that word right now. Tasks. Yeah, and then it rewards you with XP plus, like, you know, a couple, you know, 5 berries or 10 Pokeballs or a wild encounter with a random Pokemon or something like that. So that's really cool. And then on top of that, you also have the
your 7-day research.
Well, yeah, that too. But the special research. So it's basically specific to legendary Pokemon. So right now, I have 3 different ones, but I just did one. It was the Halloween theme one. I can't remember. It was called the Spooky.
The Spiritomb one. I just can't remember the name. It was something like Spirit of the Tomb.
So it was a spooky time or something like that. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of all this research, like, you do things like battle in 2 gym battles, win a raid, catch a Ditto or whatever. So you do all these things, and then there's different stages. So you do 8 stages, and then at the very end, you get a chance to catch a legendary Pokemon. So that was really cool. I've only caught... I've got Moltres and Zapdos, and I have... That's it. I think, from the yeah, that's it.
And Spirit Team. Like, I thought you had Entei or Raikou.
Yeah, but I got those from the other one. So the Pokestop ones I was talking about earlier, if you complete challenges and then you claim the reward, it gives you a stamp, but you can only get one stamp a day. And then as soon as you get 7 stamps, you get a chance to catch legendary Pokemon, and I got Entei and Suicune.
Okay, yeah.
So that's cool. That's a lot of fun. That's the way that they want you to catch the legendaries. And then on top of that, there's gym battles, and you can battle each other now and trade with each other. But the trading mechanic is still fucking annoying, really.
I the one special trade a day, it kind of pisses me off. Like, it should be one special trade per person per day.
Yeah, I agree. So the special trade is if, for example, if Will has a Pokemon that I don't have in my Pokedex, he can trade it to me, but that would count as a special trade, so you both have to agree to use your special trade, and so he can trade me something I don't have in my Pokedex.
But yeah, and it uses a lot of Stardust.
Yeah. What else do we got in this game? The gyms are great, and then we have raids. Raids are, if you haven't played in a while, they're the new fucking thing. That's awesome. So each month, or even half a month, I think, they have specific Pokemon that are going to appear in these raids, and they're like 1-star to 5-star kind of raids. And the rarer they are, so like the higher level. So for example, this right now they have Kyogre and Groudon as a possible raid boss. So they have like a ridiculous amount of health, and you basically got to meet up with other Pokemon goers and take on these big ass legendary Pokemon. And if you defeat it, you get a chance to catch it.
And then also a chance of catching it shiny.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun now. So it's good to get out outside and look at your phone and not at the actual outside environment.
Yeah. They also add like community days every like week now.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of event always going on. We have, what is it? Oh, Saturday we have a Phoebus research event. And right now, what's the event going? Oh, the Hoenn event.
Yeah.
More chance to catch or for Hoenn Pokemon to show up in the wild. I think that's how we should say it.
Yeah. I don't know what was harder to do in Generation 3, beat the Battle Frontier or catch a fucking Phoebus.
Oh.
That was the hardest thing. Like, and that was before I had actual high-speed internet. I had dial-up, so I used dial-up for like a minute. To load, like, it took me like 10 minutes to load like 2 pages to say like Phoebus only spawns in 6 squares in all of route whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? And I'm like 12 or 13 or whatever the fuck I am.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then I basically fished at every square in that whole route until I found a Phoebus. It took me like a fucking month.
Yeah, I was like thinking about it while you were talking. I was like, personally, I think the Battle Frontier is a little easier.
It was fucking hard, but yeah, I mean, some bullshit though.
Yeah, like I understand, like Dratini, he's got a 1% chance of spawning, but he can spawn at least everywhere.
Yeah, and then after you catch a goddamn Phoebus, you got to evolve the fucking thing, which is just as hard.
You got to use, what is it?
You have to make the perfect. Sorry, peace. The perfect Pokeblock that enhances only your beauty stat, and you had to max out Phoebus's beauty and nothing else, and then level it up, and then it evolves into Milotic, and it's like, fuck me, that's...
Yeah, I think I almost actually screwed up on one of my Pokeblocks.
Yeah, because if you mix one shit Pokeblock, you're fucked, and you gotta start over, and you gotta find all those berries again to make the Pokeblocks. It's like, oh my god, it's
it was tedious.
Yeah,
I like how on Pokemon Go to evolve Phoebus, all you have to do is walk with it for 20 kilometers.
Yeah, and then use 100 candies or whatever it is.
Yeah, which I'm kind of short like 70 candies right now, but I got that 20 kilometers.
Yeah, I'm short like 90 candies. I don't know what... Actually, I'm short like 97 candies. I only hatched the one Phoebus. I haven't seen one since.
Yeah, I got like... I only have seen one Phoebus, but it hatched during the one of the events earlier this year. So I got like double candy.
Right, right.
So I was lucky for that because I'd have to catch even more this weekend.
I'm literally gonna catch a million Phoebus this weekend, this Saturday. So,
I'm hoping I want to catch one with a high IV, so it has good stats. We'll say that. And then I want to catch a shiny. The shiny's the big one.
Well, here's the shitty part about the shinies. If you catch a shiny and you want to evolve it into a shiny Milotic, you got to walk with a fucker for 20 kilometers.
Yeah, but it'll just happen sooner or later.
I guess.
Like, I just at work the last 2 days, I've walked 10 kilometers.
Yeah. Well, you could be a tad for 1 day and you would walk like 25 kilometers in a day.
That is true. Half my day I sit in my car.
40,000 steps. Nonsense. Nonsense. Yeah.
I just had like a cold shiver run down my spine.
Yeah. And then when you sit down at lunch, your legs are like, oh, thank you.
What about the toilet breaks?
Yeah, you don't get those. You do a quick pit stop, quick squat and run.
You just need to have, like, a portable washroom.
Okay, I got a funny story, and it's actually quite embarrassing that I'm telling this on the fucking air. But, okay, so we did, I did theater, like, bunch of plays back in high school. And I was the assistant stage manager, so basically my job was to run around and make sure that every single human being and every single prop and everything was there and ready. So when the stage manager said, lights up, or cue this actor, or cue this effect, or whatever, it was ready. And so the show could continue on. So that was my job. So I was always in the dressing rooms, getting all the actors on the stage, making sure they're in the right costumes, making sure they're getting, you know, through their makeup and all that kind of stuff. So we're in the intermission. So I basically, we did a technical rehearsal, and then we had about an hour before house opened. So we did the vocal warm up and all this other backstage bullshit that no one fucking cares about. And then we did a show, and then we did another show. Like, we did a matinee in the early evening, and then we did another night show. So we were like, I was fucking bagged. I was basically on my feet running around like a monster for 12 hours. And then I'm like, okay, I need to take a piss super bad. So I opened the door. Like, I'm a dude. You're supposed to stand up and take a piss, but like, I've been on my feet for 12 hours. I'm like, I'm just gonna fucking sit down and take a piss. Like, fuck this manhood shit. So I closed the door, and I thought I locked it, but I didn't lock it. So I'm like sitting down on the fucking toilet here, and one of the lead actresses just opens the door and just sees me sitting there, assumes I'm like fucking dropping a deuce because I'm sitting down, and she just like quietly leaves and then walks around telling everyone that I was dropping a deuce when in fact I was not. I was being unmanly and sitting down and peeing. So there,
at least you left a mark.
Yeah, so now everyone listening to this podcast knows that Rodney sits and pees. All right, on that note,
we should sign off.
Yeah, so you learn a little bit more about your hosts every day. But anyways, guys, thanks a lot for joining us on the podcast, and let us know what your thoughts are about the Activision and Bungie split, and also about everything being available on Game Pass. On our Facebook page, you can find all of our links at the top of our website at videogamesnow.ca, and remember to check out our YouTube channel as well at videogamesnow, whatever the fuck, YouTube, and subscribe to not miss our Smash Brothers tournament. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
All right. Yeah, be sure also to tune into our next podcast, because our previous, I guess, co-host that kind of just started no-showing will be back on the podcast.
Bro, I can't make it. I, like, don't want to come.
Yeah, I just want to play video games today and just chill, relax.
Yeah.
Smoke some weed, drink some beers.
He doesn't even have to leave his fucking house. You just, like, you Skype in, and you have a good microphone, so, like, you sound like you're here, but you're not.
Yeah. I got a story, though, quick before, for this, for everyone, because I'm going to throw Mark under the bus a bit. Apparently, because our job, even when we do 12-hour days, we still get off at, like, 7, so by the time we get home, it's a little later, probably 8 o'clock. So his parents just this weekend started a new rule that if he's not home by 5 o'clock, he can't take their food.
Good. Fuck him.
Yeah, I was like, so you think it's a, because they're saying it's because by that time when he gets home at like 8 o'clock, because they work too, they're tired, already in bed, and he makes too much noise.
Does he talk like a surfer dude to his parents too? Be like, bro, no, I need some food.
Well, he doesn't say bro. He'd be like, mom, but I've already done that.
Yeah, that's funny. It's yeah. funny to think about how Mark talks to other people that aren't like bros.
I think I've even heard him call Michelle bro once.
He calls like he would call. I'm sure he calls Alex bro, his fucking own girlfriend.
That would be awkward.
Or dude. He probably calls her dude, too.
Bro.
Okay, we're going to keep this between us, but let's keep a fucking counter of how many times he says either bro or dude on the next podcast.
That'll be good. Let's do it.
All right, okay. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you on the next one.
See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.